You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat, where we discuss how the Ngāpuhi settlement negotiations are coming along and possible changes to the sharing of defendants' court and health information in bail hearings. Here is my mate, Andrew.
Recently, you met with Tūhorunuku and Te Kotahitanga to discuss the Ngāpuhi settlement negotiations. Were they productive discussions?
They were good discussions. We held it together for the best part of a day and a half. It was an opportunity to exchange ideas about how we could move things along. And at the end of it, they had something to take back to the various people they were representing. And they're going to do that, and we've agreed we'll meet up again in about a month's time. So look, I was pleased. I was pleased with the tone of the discussions, and I was pleased that we were able to keep them going, and that we have a commitment to resume talks when they had a chance to sound out their people back in Ngāpuhi.
Because Tūhorunuku has the Crown recognised mandate to negotiate on behalf of Ngāpuhi, a mandate that Te Kotahitanga opposed. How's this impacting discussions?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a long history to all this. The whole process started 8 or 9 years ago. Mandate was recognised and held by Tūhorunuku. That was challenged in the tribunal. The tribunal's criticisms were more about the Crown and what it ought to have done to make sure that the representative structures under Tūhorunuku were better, that they paid more respect to hapū. But the tribunal was very clear. They feel that the Crown doesn't have to withdraw its recognition of Tūhorunuku's mandate, but just need to work to improve the quality of it. And that's really what's been going on in the last few years. We've now got to a point where actually we can have good constructive discussions about that. I put up a proposal, they've taken that away, and we'll resume those talks in a few weeks' time.
Has this been the only thing holding up discussions?
That's the main thing. This is all about making sure we get things right so that when people are sitting around the table, both the Crown and the representative in Ngāpuhi, is that there's a robustness to it, that there's good feedback loops, that it's genuinely representative, and that it meets the tikanga for Ngāpuhi, which is very, very much hapū-based and hapū-driven.
And you've talked about the importance of respecting tikanga in negotiations. How do you plan on doing this, and why is it so important that tikanga is sort of recognised?
Well, this is what goes to the heart of treaty negotiations and treaty settlements. It's got to reflect the wishes of the particular iwi that you're dealing with. That's what makes it enduring. Otherwise, we end up having skirmishes and squabbles over all sorts of things as we go on the journey. So setting up the negotiations right, doing it right right from the outset, is absolutely critical to good negotiations, a good quality settlement that has the support of the iwi, and that lays that foundation for the future relationship, which in the end is the most important thing that comes out of treaty settlements. It's the building the foundation for that future relationship.
And are you expecting negotiations to begin soon?
I would like them to, but in the end, this is about a journey that we're all on, and Ngāpuhi has to be able to make its decisions in its time, and in the end, it's got to be satisfied, or sufficiently satisfied with how we agree to start negotiations for them to get underway, and that's just what where we're at the moment.
And, I mean, it's expected to be a big settlement. Just how big are you expecting it to be?
Look, it will be because they are the biggest iwi in the country. I don't want to start sort of trying to put dimensions or figures on. That would be premature because there's a lot to this. It's not just about compensation for breaches. It's about recognition of important historical landmarks and sites and important stories and history that have to be acknowledged as well. And then there's the historical account of what has happened throughout the Rohe in those colonial times. So there's a lot to it, a lot that makes up a settlement.
And moving on, a recent coroner's report found that information sharing between courts, the police and the health system could be inadequate in some bail hearings. Is this dangerous for the public?
Well, what it means is that if we don't get the information sharing right, and if we don't make sure that the right information is in front of judges when they're considering mail applications, then it means that judges aren't making good decisions, and potentially unsafe people are being remanded at large as opposed to in custody. And so I think what the Christy Marceau case and the coroner's report highlighted is how even with the best efforts by the judges and the police and the lawyers who make up the whole decision-making process. Information can go astray, and sometimes it doesn't get to the judge at the right time, and I think that's really what happened in the Christy Marceau case. It wasn't a question of the bail laws, it was a question of the information processes, and that's what let everybody down and leads to the tragedy.
And do you have any plans to sort of tackle this and get better information to judges?
Yeah, I think I've asked officials now to have a look at the recommendations the coroner has come up with. I mean, these events all happened the best part of 7 years ago, so I'd be surprised if something hasn't happened since then. But anyway, whether or not they've happened, I've asked officials to have a look at it. I want to be absolutely assured that the information systems and where information gets to, how it's transferred, because, you know, different people will appear in the same case at different times. That transfer of information has to be absolutely correct, and so that when judges are making decisions, they've got all the relevant information at the time. The public is entitled to have that assurance, and I want to make sure that they can get it.
Because there's been a trial scheme in place where judges are given a pack with all the court and police information about a defendant. Would you like to see this rolled out across the country?
Yeah, well, the bottom line has got to be when judges are making bail decisions. I mean, in the end, police oppose bail where they consider the person, the alleged offender, is a risk or a threat to the community. And so the police have got to have good grounds for that. The judge has got to have that information. And in the course of these things, the information is changing. So in this case, Christy Marceau's killer, he had four appearances before a judge, before the final decision was made. And in each of the other appearances, the issue about his mental health and the risk that he posed to the community was very much a live issue, and the judges were saying, we need more information, we need better reports, we need the health assessments. And yet, when it came down to the very point the judge had to make the decision, the up-to-date and correct information wasn't there. We have to make sure those information systems are working so the judges have the information in front of them at the relevant time.
I mean, was this sort of a one-off, or does this happen quite often?
I don't know. I'll ask officials about that. I mean, this was an extraordinary case. I'd hate to say it's exceptional. That sounds to the trivialising of what happened to Christy Marceau. But this was an extraordinary set of events. Akshay Chand, the offender in this case, he was young. The fullness or the full extent of his mental health problems weren't really known and diagnosed until after he killed Christy Marceau, and then the psychotic nature of his health issues then were diagnosed and were known about. Up to that time, he was understood to be depressive, and that was understood to be able to be controlled by medication. He'd been on medication for a few weeks up to the time that the bail decision was made. So there are a lot of factors in this that makes it, I would say unusual. I'd hate to think that this would ever happen again, you know, in a set of circumstances like this, which is why we've got to get that information system and the courts and the registries absolutely up to the mark.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.